Hi all, I'm Dan Smigrod, founder of the We Get Around Network Forum. Today is Thursday, December 8, 2022, and you're watching WGAN-TV live at 5. We have an awesome show for you today. 10 use cases for Matterport Pro 3 camera to help Matterport service providers make more money. And here to talk to us about that is Hopscotch Interactive CEO and Chief Media Officer Emily Ullman. Emily, thanks for being on the show again.
Thanks, Dan. It's so good to be here.
Emily, before we jump into today's topic, tell us about Hopscotch Interactive.
Hopscotch Interactive is a real estate marketing agency that I started in 2015. We are located in the San Francisco Bay Area, and the team is comprised of myself as chief media officer, and then I have six staff that work with us, and so six employees, and then also a number of contractors that we work with in the Bay Area and sometimes outside of the Bay Area to provide media services for our clients. And I started off as a Matterport service partner, Matterport provider, and from there really expanded the business and organically grew the company so that we were providing photography, real estate photography, architectural photography. In the beginning, it was just me, and then I was working on mostly residential. And then I started to zero in my focus a little bit more on the commercial side of the business, so office space and office leasing. And so fast forward to today, we made it through 2020 to now, and our big shift came in the beginning of 2020, of course, when the pandemic happened. And at that time, we made almost flipped the business, and we started doing what we had originally been doing, about 80% residential, and we switched to about 80% commercial scanning at that time and photography. And then actually from that, we expanded into offering commercial real estate media coordination, and so we are marketing coordination. So we also partner with commercial real estate brokerages and leasing offices to help them with some of their media coordination, like newsletters and social media and those kinds of things. So we've completely expanded. Another portion of the business, which is not always the one that we monetize the most, but that I'm a huge evangelist for and an advocate for, and that is, of course, virtual and augmented reality. And that includes the creation of 360 content, virtual reality content, even Matterport spaces in VR, or using goggles or glasses such as the Magic Leap to create visualizations of the unbuilt world as well. So we kind of have a multi-pronged approach to our business. And I think that we are responding, of course, to the market, but we're also out there educating and trying to help people. And I also have a YouTube channel where I share my knowledge and get to talk to people like you, Dan. So I have always been a believer in sharing knowledge and helping people grow their pie. So that's what brings us to today.
Awesome. Hopscotchinteractive.com. Emily, what type of gear do you have?
Well, it's funny you should ask, because I keep a huge inventory list of all of the gear that I own and all the gear that we have for our team. And obviously that includes a number of DSLR cameras, and that includes a huge inventory of different kinds of lenses and tripods and all the things that you would need. Ricoh Theta Z1s, we've got five of those, and Matterport Pro 2s. We used to have Matterport Pro 1s, and now we have several Matterport Pro 2s. We have a Matterport Pro 3, and we also have, let's see, what else is like the big gear that we have? I mean, just anything that we can use to make great content for our clients is something that we typically will invest in. So lots of like iPads and scanning devices and things like that. iGuide. I have an iGuide.
So you're using a the iGuide Planix?
iGuide Planix system. That's correct.
System. Okay, cool. And so what was your motivation to buy a Matterport Pro 3 camera?
Well, the announcement came out. We had known about it for, I'd known that it was in development for quite some time. And so I think that at the beginning, when it first was announced that we could go into pre-orders, I was a little reluctant to go into it. And what I had a holdout, and we'll talk about that in a second. But the main reason that I bought the Pro 3 was because I actually had a real world example where I was scanning with a Pro 2 and we had to get over a hurdle in a space. It was a commercial floor that was over 20,000 square feet. And so getting over that and needing to do it fairly quickly, and then to be able to do the next floor with occupied space, which is something more recently challenging because during the pandemic spaces were not occupied. And so I have to also be able to quickly scan a space where there may be people. And so they always want you out as fast as possible. So those are the reasons that led me to say, I think we need to have this camera in our fleet. But I have not yet converted all of the cameras to Pro 3s like I did from Pro 1 to Pro 2.
So let me see if I can unpack that, because there are a number of things that you've mentioned there. So the first, what was the challenge of doing 20,000 square feet with a Matterport Pro 2 camera?
Well, this was a commercial space, and this has challenges that will surprise people. But if they've been using a Matterport camera or a system for long enough, they'll know that large open spaces or repeating geometry can challenge the camera and its ability to recognize where it is in the space. It has a hard time registering the scan, and will sometimes place it where you already scanned if it looks exactly the same. And so it's very difficult to overcome those things unless you have differentiated geometry that the camera can then recognize as a new area.
So first problem related to the commercial space was the camera, the Matterport Pro 2 camera or the Matterport Cloud, being confused about how to actually build the spatial data because of the repetitive space.
Yes, that's correct. And it was open, and therefore we only had two planes of information. You have the floor, which is one plane, and then you have the ceiling, which is another plane. And I had hoped with the open and exposed ceiling in the shell condition space that we would have been able to have overcome it. And that was my hope. Overcome it with the Pro 2, which in pretty much 95% of cases in the past, we had been able to do. But this space just wanted to be stubborn and difficult. And so, the photographer that was out in space, just had expressed some frustration around it. And I said that, well, I know that we have access to a Pro 3 if we make a call. So let's see if we can get a Pro 3 here.
And to see, meaning to borrow a Matterport Pro 3.
To hire one of our contractors who had a Pro 3 and to see if that would sort of solve the problem, which I was fairly certain that it would solve the problem because I knew the range would be much better. And therefore the reading from the core of the building to this and the ceiling to the window line would give us that enough data that we would be able to, even if they were minor differences, it would be enough for the camera to register the scan.
And were you successful using the Matterport Pro 3 camera?
Yes, absolutely. And not only that, but that space was finished in, I believe, an hour and a half after we started. So we have half a scan, and I did a video on this, but we have half a scan that was shot with, this incredible density around the core of the building, with scans placed just a few feet apart from each other. And so you have this massive density. And then we were then introducing into a halfway finished space, you know, maybe we'd done about 10,000 square feet or something. And then we introduced the Pro 3 camera, and then we were able to, with fewer scans, with fewer time, and with fewer errors, we were able to complete the scan in roughly an hour and a half.
20,000 square feet?
No, the remaining portion. So like maybe 10,000. About 10,000 square feet, we wrapped up in about an hour and a half.
Hour and a half. And the... Did the client have a challenge that the scans were closer together with the Pro 2, or that they were farther apart with the Pro 3, or for this particular project, it didn't matter how far the scans were apart?
I think that's a user experience question. And so unfortunately, I couldn't, you know, get a sample of responses from every person that saw the space, like all the brokers that would have seen it. But we also deactivated a number of the spaces around the core so that it would blend a little bit better. And so I don't think they really had a chance to weigh in on that.
Okay, so you hid scans. So essentially using the Pro 2, which was just slower in its rotation and slower because it took scans closer together in order to successfully scan the space, you essentially went and hid scans from the Pro 2 side of the model, and were perfectly happy with the distance between the Matterport Pro 3 camera scans.
Correct. There was really no comment on that whatsoever. And I don't know that we even explained per se what we were doing in terms of, you know, having a different camera.
Didn't care. They just wanted it to they wanted their Matterport tour, and the technology behind that process was irrelevant to them. Yeah. Your photographer was pulling their hair out because they were having a challenge of completing the project because of, I'm going to say, scan failure. Or a combination, either scan failure or putting the scan in the wrong place, which is a scan failure, and having to delete the scan and then try it again, maybe get the camera closer to the previous scan.
Yeah, you're sort of coaxing it into behaving for you, and that is always a question of how much patience do you have, and how much time do you have, and then can you also interpret the scan in a way that you could sort of go, okay, well, it didn't work here in this location. Maybe I need to go back to an area where it's a more narrow, and then I could continue. So some of it is scan failure, and then some of it is also, it can be attributed to approach, but in this case, this is an extremely, extremely experienced scanner who was doing this. So I would say it was just a shortcoming of the Pro 2 that for whatever reason made it infinitely more difficult.
And when you used the Matterport Pro 3 camera, scan errors?
Yes, we had a couple scan errors in some rooms where we were going, and this was on the second floor. We had some errors on so we did we finished this floor that was fully empty shell space. And then we went ahead and had this next floor, which was above it, a couple floors that was occupied. And so in that space, there were interior suites and things that had been built out. And we had some errors that we may not have seen in the Pro 2, where we were scanning on the outside of a glass conference room, and we were trying to go into the conference room on the other side. And it was similar to like when you are trying to go into a bathroom in a residential home and then you don't mark the mirrors. And so then you go from the outside to the inside and then it won't register because the mirrors are throwing off the mesh. But in this case, the error was happening on the outside of the room. And so that was weird. We were trying, and sometimes, so you just have to like rescan that area. So we kind of did both. We rescanned the area and we put tons of markings, our window markings everywhere and on the TV, and that overcame it. But it was a surprise. I was like, wait a second, this shouldn't be happening. But
just as a side note, did you try marking the windows as mirrors?
We didn't do windows as mirrors. Is that a preference that people have noted?
I don't know. I just thought that might be a way to, if your windows were acting as mirrors and reflecting back, perhaps that might have been a solution.
That might have been a
But
solution. What?
that may
Yeah.
be a topic for a different day. There it
Well,
would.
right. And that's the weird part is that when you're shooting in an interior space, you typically don't have to mark glass. And glass is, since the infrared on the Pro 2 would pass through the glass, that has, I would say, it's a very small chance that that's causing a mirror error. Because the infrared passes through it, whereas on a mirror it literally shows, yeah, it's showing that as if there were a repeat of that other data. So I think it's a really good question, but we, you know, it was a mystery. It was a mystery. Some
Let's
people
save the
weighed in,
mystery for
but
another day because we got bigger things to talk about
yeah, I
on this
don't
Matterport
know.
Pro 3. When you introduced the topic about why that you were buying the Matterport Pro 3 camera, you also mentioned that you were thinking about replacing all your Matterport Pro 2 cameras.
Yes, and I think that
Why is that?
what's that?
Why is that?
Well, number one is speed. Number two is speed. The speed is really notably different, and I think
And why is that speed important?
the speed is important because it just, for example, like in commercial spaces, which we do a lot of, the now that there has been a return to office, we sometimes will only get access to a specific location on a Saturday. And so Saturday and weekend shoots are starting to be requested more often. And there's only so many Saturdays, and there's only so many of our photographers that are available on those Saturdays. So if I could send somebody out and they can only shoot one floor, or they could shoot two full floors in the same amount of time. Obviously, it's going to be much better for us as a business to be able to, you know, to schedule with greater ease on a weekend or any property for that matter. Yeah.
You mentioned two floors instead of one. Is it literally twice as fast as a Pro 2?
I think it's about twice as fast. Yeah.
And on a commercial space. And it's not necessarily because of, or I'll ask the, it's faster because.
It's faster because the rotation of the device is cut down by a significant amount of time. So if, say, that was originally like maybe, I don't know, they said it's like 30 seconds or something, or but I think it's more like 40 some seconds, and now it's spinning around in maybe 20 seconds. So it's half the rotation size, and the registration of that data, you're really able to move on to the next scan a lot faster. So that just means that you're moving at a much faster pace, and you're spreading your scans out distance-wise much greater. So you have to do fewer scans and fewer density of scans. Instead of doing, say, 300 scans for a 20,000 square foot commercial office, you're doing that in like maybe 150. All of those
A
reasons
lot
add
of
up.
reasons. I think the highlight there on the speed is most might read the Matterport Pro 3 specs and be focused and obsessed on how quickly the Matterport Pro 3 rotates and completes a scan versus a Pro 2. But based on what you just said, the greater time savings may be the fact that you can scan farther apart if that's appropriate for a space, which means you're reducing the number of scans that you need and the camera never has to rotate. So if you can do, as you
Yeah.
mentioned, if you can do 150 scans instead of 300 scans, already you have the savings is in half,
Yeah.
even if the camera rotated at the same speed, just the fact that you can put the camera at greater distance.
I agree, Dan. And I think also for folks like myself who have gone from a Pro 1 all the way to the Pro 3, you know, we're not at this point anymore where it's like I love this and I'm happy to spend all day doing it necessarily. Like I think that there is also somewhat of a there's somewhat of a ceiling in terms of, like, even if you love scanning and it's like the most exciting thing and you find it really satisfying and you think it's just so cool, at a certain point you're going to be like, this should be faster. I'd like to do something else with my time today. Or, you know, you start to feel like it is suddenly anything that you realize you could be doing faster, why wouldn't you want to do it faster? So
on this speed, do you think that this will change your pricing in any way because it takes you half the time to do a project perhaps? Or is it, no, we can actually do twice as much work at the same rate of pay, and our tool happens to cost more, so we can still justify the expense?
It's really the latter. I don't see although I would have to say there may be disagreement on that from Matterport. You may sort of find yourself in a situation, which has happened historically, perhaps Matterport, because they have capture services, I know that's a whole can of worms, but because they have capture services, unless they suddenly start trying to push down and commoditize pricing, because they are a bigger company that has that, you know, possibility to do that across many markets all at the same time, they may say, which is what they did with capture services, no, we're going to try to anchor prices at a certain place, and the Pro 3 enables us to do that. So don't be surprised if that happens. But like, I've seen people do lower priced scans if they use the Z1 and they use Cortex as the way that they create scans, because they can just do them so much faster. But I would say that this is not, this isn't really equivalent to that per se. At least you could have a good argument about why or why not that's true. But no, I don't think prices should change. If maybe prices should go up, because there has been so much downward pressure on prices over the last couple of years.
Okay. At the top of the show, I said 10 use cases for the Matterport Pro 3 camera to help Matterport service providers make more money. And I know we need to actually kind of focus on that. Yeah. But before I kind of get into some more use cases, I still want to ask you first impressions on the Matterport Pro 3 camera.
First impressions are, a lot of it was around the design decisions that they made. And you as an operator, it's almost like it goes too fast. Like, you feel like you can't tell if you're in the shot right away. And so it's spinning, you're looking down at your iPad, it's going really fast. And then you have to then check your shot to make sure you didn't appear in the shot. And I feel like I was doing that a lot more, because I'm so used to the timing of the Pro 2. And it's a little bit more, let's just say, a little bit more relaxed. And then the Pro 3 is like,
but I'm a little bit confused there, because I thought I heard you say on the benefits, speed. Now you're complaining that it's rotating so fast that you might end up in the shot, and it's giving you angst.
Yeah, it's giving me a little angst. And I think that is one of these, you know, this is one of these oxymorons. It's like, you want to be slow, fast. Like, it's like, you can't have it both ways. So yes, but that requires us getting used to it. And I would say that we've done at least 7 full floors now with the Pro 3, and the ability to be able to do all of those full floors and to say yes to those jobs in a way that I knew we could hit the expectations and do it quickly, vastly, you know, outweighs the fact that, yeah, we might be in a shot or two.
Okay. I'm going to call that a high class problem about your angst being in the shot. Yeah. And we'll take speed as a first impression kind of benefit. You mentioned doing the 7 floors. Have you had an opportunity to use the Pro 3 camera outdoors?
No, I haven't used it outdoors yet.
Was that part of your thinking in terms of buying the Pro 3 camera? Because the Pro 2, from a practical standpoint, you really cannot scan outdoors.
Right. We can scan outdoors if we do it at certain times of the day.
There's a way to do it, but from a practical business standpoint, it's really just not using the Pro 2. So
yeah. Exactly.
This is doable, really... but now the Pro 3, you don't have to think about it. So was that part of your thinking at all that, and what were you thinking about in terms of outdoor scanning, in terms of what might be use cases that you couldn't do before practically with the Pro 2 camera?
Well, it's a little bit hard because of the timing of the year right now. They introduced the camera in the fall, but what I think you're going to see in terms of trends are that in the spring, certainly the ability to scan outdoors was part of my consideration. I have a strong preference for not really liking the whole indoor to outdoor scans with the Pro 2, because I always feel like we don't have a ton of range. Therefore, we get a lot of 3D artifacts that look incomplete and I feel are more confusing than they are helpful for marketing. So we do not scan.
I'm sorry, go on.
No, please go ahead.
I think that the aha was to say, if it's a marketing use case, then it's likely not scanning outdoors. That's the conclusion, unless you hide the dollhouse view.
Unless now we can trim. So we can trim and we can make it look clean, but it otherwise is, it's not great. It's not great. It's not
okay.
Great.
Okay, so I'm going to put a period paragraph there and say, okay, if you're planning to do marketing scans outdoors with Matterport Pro 3, you might think twice about that because the dollhouse really isn't nice. We as kind of geeky people might look at the dollhouse and go, oh, that's pretty cool that you can do that. But the client from a marketing standpoint says, I need to sell a $5 million, $10 million, $20 million property. That looks like a train wreck. So
it might, if it's the Pro 2, if it's the Pro 3, I would actually argue that the potential for the grounds, for the piece of land that it's on, for other features like being able to connect between a main house and an ADU or a cottage or a detached garage.
Yes, but I'm hearing that 80% of your business is now swapped into commercial. So let's focus on the commercial aspect. And, sure. And frankly, today, Thursday, December 8th, 2022, I think most Matterport service providers that have built their business related to residential real estate are actually thinking, oh gosh, I really need to make the leap into other verticals. I'm hoping to tune into today's show and find out, well, what else could I do with the Pro 3? Other than residential real estate. So when you were talking about scanning outdoors with the Matterport Pro 3 camera, do you have vacant lots that you're asked to do? Is that come up?
We get a lot of requests to do drone shots of vacant lots. And I think that that's very interesting. I think also in the pre-renovation phase, other properties, we may be able to use the Pro 3 for elevation and for helping us do, and I have to test this, and I don't know if anybody has done this test yet, but I want to know if the Matterport Pro 3 is comparable to a site survey done by a surveyor that would be going to a residential property to do that kind of, you know, site survey, whatever you call it, and also sort of is there a cost analysis that can be done as well?
Yeah. So interesting questions. We did a show that sort of kind of on this topic with a Matterport service provider that uses typically a BLK 360 scanner or higher. And I think his conclusion was if the client needs to specify the level of detail, the LOD, and typically in that discussion about the Matterport Matter Pack, the E57 files, and in doing elevations of properties, he had some angst because he would describe the Pro 3 level of detail, LOD, as I want to say 100. I may have that wrong, but I whatever that language is for a surveyor, they might say, oh, we really need LOD 200, LOD 300, LOD 400. So it probably is asking the client, what LOD do you require?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to guess that Matterport service providers using a Matterport Pro 3 camera are not going to replace people whose title are surveyor that show up with a $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $80,000 LiDAR scanner.
So, you'd be surprised though, because you don't know. I mean, for some people, the lower LOD is enough to do the sketches. And, but yeah, I mean, I wonder.
Point taken. So if, you know, if you can bring out a laser measure with you and take some, you know, points from A to B and be able to, I don't know what the term would be, scale the model properly to, so to say, if you, you know, if you did a very large space and the Pro 3 camera is off by X number of inches or feet even, then you could scale back the model by taking some critical measurements in order to get it to a level of scale that might be necessary for doing those elevations.
Yeah, that's such a good question. And I feel like there was definitely on the forums that I was reading on this particular topic, there was more angst than there was relief.
It's an interesting thing to be able to say, you know, to your point, sometimes less data is actually better. And if you use a $40,000, $50,000, $80,000 scanner and you're creating a lot of data, a lot of point cloud, a lot of mesh, the overhead, the processing, the importing, exporting, moving data around just may be unnecessary.
Yeah.
You're going to put a picture frame up on the wall, you may just need a hammer and a nail rather than a motorized nail hammer thing that you might use on putting the roof on a house. So maybe the Pro 3 I guess I would probably say it's probably up to the client, is for the client to be able to specify, well, as long as you have level of detail of 100, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. And if Matterport says Matterport Pro 3 is a level of detail of 100, then you're probably okay. But that's probably a really interesting question. I don't know if we'd get that resolved today, is can you use Matterport Pro 3 camera to do outdoor elevations? That's a good question. It may be sufficient for the architect who needs to reimagine what that existing space looks like and doesn't necessarily need it to be millimeter accurate.
I think, Dan, that, you know, in that same way that photographers purchase Matterport cameras because they need to be able to make an easy virtual tour, and then, oh, look, they also make floor plans. I think that if you're coming from the photography side of the business and then you're moving towards the AEC applications of the business, of the tools, you will at some point get into an area where it's beyond your expertise. But you're learning enough, and you may have asked the right questions so that you feel confident enough in moving forward with a project and saying, yes, you know, we have what you need. If you're coming from the AEC side instead, and then you have a BLK or higher, you're Faro with a Faro system or Trimble or one of these guys, and you're moving towards a Matterport camera, you may also get uncomfortable as well, but at least you would have that sort of knowledge of the level of detail in a way that you could talk as an expert about what we're missing if we are going in that direction.
Yeah, I have to think, since Matterport does have Matterport capture services on demand, that group was probably very instrumental in the design specs of a Matterport Pro 3 camera to be able to say, hey, we, you know, all those projects that you're using a $40,000, $50,000, $80,000 scanner, you could be using a $6,000 Matterport Pro 3 camera, and the level of detail is good enough for your use case.
Sorry to cut you off, but I think here's the other thing. The other side of that is that, for example, when working with the iGUIDE folks on their camera system, which is also LiDAR, versus infrared, they are also based in Canada. And one of the things that I learned about Canadian laws was that if your floor plan and the measurements that you're using are more than 2% off, then you are liable for that. And not only that, in North America, we have this new ANSI Z765, I believe, sort of standard for floor plans and measurements. And I looked on Matterport's website and I didn't see that they outright said that they were ANSI Z765 compliant, but maybe they've changed that since. But I believe that might've been another reason why the Pro 3 was an urgency for them, so that they could actually say, look, we're compliant with the standard of measurement on floor plans.
I think that's a great question. I was just looking up in the We Get Around Network forum, WGAN forum, an iGUIDE show that we did about iGUIDE ANSI floor plans with this standard that could make your eyes glaze over. But I think it was—
Except for the big nerds. We love that stuff, right, Dan?
I'm thankful that Planetar iGUIDE marketing manager Chris White took the time to help us understand this ANSI compliant 2D floor plans. And I've never heard Matterport. I don't believe I've read anything anywhere on a Matterport website that's addressed ANSI standards. So
I Googled it, I searched their website for it some time ago and I didn't see it. And this was around the time where the standard was rolled out. And I mean, or where it was a thing that I was thinking about often, especially because we started doing a lot of Kubikasa floor plans and theirs are compliant. And so that was one of the reasons why I sort of started favoring the Kubikasa floor plans, especially because of that.
This is an interesting question, because I think to really kind of break this down, because it is super geeky, I'm going to guess, bear with me, I'm going to guess, because Matterport outsources its 2D schematic floor plans to a third-party company, it's white labeled through Matterport, that I'm going to guess that it's my hypothesis that the Matterport Pro 3 camera captures the data that's sufficient to create a ANSI compliant floor plan, but the amount of money that Matterport pays the third-party company to create the floor plans from the Matterport scan is not sufficient for the vendor to say, we will take the time to create ANSI-compliant floor plans.
I think that's an interesting hypothesis.
It's my hypothesis in part because, again, super geeky, but I had a GIS manager reach out to me, whatever that is. And their problem was they were using Matterport to do a park system. And then they were having the Matterport floor plans created. And then they were trying to lay the floor plans over their existing floor plans. And what they were finding, there was this disconnect. And what they were finding was that the Matterport floor plans were much more stylized of a represent, I don't know how to say that, close but no cigar.
Drawing not to scale. I think that
drawing not to scale.
Drawing not to scale. I think that that really sums it up. I think that, you know, there is a certain amount of you have to sort of take it with a grain of salt. And I think that we are sort of in an awkward position because realtors actually are then wondering, what data can I trust? And so if they do come and say, I'm like tapping on the case here, I have the camera right here, but if Matterport could for once and for all say the Pro 3 is ANSI compliant for these floor plans, then
I think the difference here though, Emily, I think the difference here is the camera probably captures the data that's capable of being ANSI compliant, but Matterport has chosen not to deliver ANSI compliant floor plans. My hypothesis, and maybe we'll see that they'll come out with a new product and maybe it'll be priced differently. But otherwise, it's size drawn, not necessarily to scale.
Not necessarily, but I have a question then. I mean, this always sort of perplexed me because I wanted to understand why Matterport had the true plan product that yes. the True Plan product is a very expensive and higher level of detail, rent, like a floor plan or a 3D plan of properties, right?
Including it's different. So the True Plan is really Matterport's brand name for an Xactimate. And an Xactimate floor plan is actually used in the insurance claims space. So the level of detail, well, that's an interesting question. The insurance company has, the insurance industry, my impression, has embraced Matterport. And whether the Matterport is providing the True Plan, which is the Xactimate, or whether someone is using Matterport, there's plenty of people in the insurance space that take the Matterport floor plan view, not the Matterport floor plan, but the Matterport floor plan view, and trace over it to go create their Xactimate. And I'm not sure that we could equate Matterport True Plan, these Xactimates, with the floor plan product, because they're used for different industries. But I'm so sorry, I've taken us down a rabbit hole.
No, I think it's an important rabbit hole, though, because if the Pro 3, one of the selling points, and people are buying it because it has LiDAR, and they want to know that this is going to be a scan or a mapping of a space where the errors and the amount of tolerance of discrepancy and the size, you know, in the measurements of the space are going to be more, it will be a more accurate scan, and also that those sort of errors won't be then spreading throughout the model, then you, from what I understand, the LiDAR will assist with that, because it is not going to be creating these same errors that infrared would create, and therefore sort of expand throughout the model and giving you something like 6 inches of being off by 6 to 8 inches. And so that matters when you're cutting.
But if it is off, you could adjust for that in the drawings by taking some laser measurements with a laser measurer and say, okay, we need to true up this model as we draw, so that it truly is at scale. I think we probably lost half our audience on that.
Sorry,
but
guys.
I would say that the Matterport Pro 3 camera is more accurate than the Matterport Pro 2 camera, including outdoors. But as a service provider, a Matterport service provider, careful what you promise a client. And I think you'd be way better off saying, what level of detail do you need? That would typically be an architect might ask that question. And for that matter, if you're working with an architect, you might say, hey, I'm happy to scan your office, provide you with the data, and let me tell you if this example is sufficient for your needs. And that might open up a lot of business for outdoor elevations. It might open up other use cases, as built, all kinds of things.
I'd like to see it go there, and I'd like to see Matterport's sort of value proposition to people who have invested in the systems be one that they are we've invested in the systems. Do they invest in us as service providers? And I think that this kind of boils down to educating people. And I know that there are a lot of sort of shop talk webinars that they do, but I think that this is actually a really, really important point, because it can get a company into some uncomfortable situations. And also, you want to be able to express to a client what you can and what you can't do and set those expectations. And that also reflects all the way down to the bottom line of how much you're going to be able to charge a client, because then they will feel that level of confidence in what you're doing.
Okay. So let's put the accuracy aside for the moment.
Sure.
I'll keep an eye out for whether Matterport says anything official on ANSI standards. iGUIDE is all over it.
They're all over it, man.
And using it as a differentiator, particularly in Canada, but probably in the United States over the next X number of years, as that standard gets adopted and the level of detail, the accuracy of floor plans becomes that much more important. We were talking about the distance of how far the camera can see. That probably translates into being able to do atriums within commercial office spaces. Have you stumbled into having clients that have these ginormous ceiling heights in the lobby, and all of a sudden the Pro 2 just can't see the ceiling, and now this is an opportunity for you to say, oh, we can now create a beautiful dollhouse that actually captures the scan data, and if you need the measurements, we have that for you as well.
I think it's going to open up a lot of opportunities for us. I think that I'm recalling the very first combined Matterport and BLK scan that I saw, which was shot not too far from where I live in Berkeley, the one that they showed to everyone in their marketing. And that was, I believe, of the Lawrence Livermore Labs. So it's the, you know, it's the research lab up here at UC Berkeley, just a couple miles away. And that was amazing because it showed the dome of the laboratory. And so I think that for us, because a lot of the spaces that we do scan are commercial lobbies, and they are typically very high ceilings. It's like being in a church. I think that it will be really exciting to try the Pro 3 in a space like that and to see where, you know, where does the data extend to? How high does it go? And what are we going to be able to do with that?
Mm-hmm. You just going back outdoors for a moment, you mentioned you get drone business for doing vacant lots. Mm-hmm. Do you think you might be going back to those same clients and say, hey, oh, by the way, we can do a walk around experience of your outdoor lot?
100%. And I think and this is what I was trying to allude to in the sort of the seasonal business, is that right now in many parts of America and around the Northern Hemisphere, it's cold, it's not very beautiful outside, but I think we're going to see an explosion of properties that are going to be scanned. Maybe they were already scanned indoors with the Pro 2. Now you can go back to that scan, which also I love. I wish you've probably already done a topic of this, but the cloud, where you can re-import a scan from the cloud if you uploaded it to your system. So that means I could just bring down any scan from the past start adding to it again, theoretically, and just keep going with that scan and add the exterior data and see what happens. So I'm looking forward to doing that with a lot of the venues or outdoor locations. I think we're going to see things like, you know, the Shoreline Amphitheater, and we're going to see the Greek Theater, and we're going to see a lot of iconic outdoor spaces will be scanned in 3D. And unless you had an expensive scanner right now, you can't easily use like an iPad or some other handheld scanning device to scan large spaces like that. So I think the Pro 3 will mean just keep an eye out for what's coming once the weather shifts, and you know, in the next few months.
Staying on that topic of large spaces, other large commercials, does this open up opportunities? We began the show with where you were talking about you're doing the 20,000 square feet, which is an empty space, and all you have for the camera to hook on is the ceiling and the floor, and the Pro 2 just makes you cry trying to do that space. Does this, like, now do you get excited to say, wow, I can do wide open spaces that might be 20, 40, 50, 80,000 square feet, and I can do it in a fraction of the time? Is that resonating with you in terms
of? It's totally resonating. I mean, you know, you have to stress test whatever you've just purchased to kind of know what its limits are. And so I hope to be able to get the opportunity to scan some really large spaces. We have a bid out right now for a entire office building that's about 200,000 square feet. And I mean, just thinking back to what it used to be like, and when we didn't have the blur tool, and we didn't have the Pro 3, you know, that might have been a job that I would have imagined we either would have had to have said no to because we couldn't obscure sensitive information, or we would have had to have like shot it in 360 and then edited it and then put it into a totally different tour platform, which we did for some highly sensitive spaces, full floors that we were extracting 360s and then manually blurring. That was kind of the way that we had to do it as a workaround. But now that we have the blur and we have the Pro 3, I could just sort of bid out a 200,000 square foot building, like kind of no problem. I don't feel like there's anything that would alarm me about that.
And would that be in one model, or would you do each floor as a separate model, or either way would be totally fine, whatever the client wants?
I think kind of whatever the client wants. I mean, we may bump into space. We may still bump into GPU and space constraints on an iPad, or whatever tablet we're using. So I would have to see how that goes, but that's a performance issue. We have not, like I said, we haven't stress test all the way on that yet, but certainly, that would be something that I could imagine would work, because if we could space out the scans enough, I don't know. I think that it's possible to scan a 200,000 square foot space with one scan, but if not, well, there's workarounds for that too. So yeah, I have to give it a try. I don't like working with big bulky scans, to be honest, because I feel like it's more cumbersome, but I do believe that I believe it's worth a try.
Large, anything else come to mind in terms of use cases, large
use cases for this?
Opportunities that you would perhaps walk away if the tool was a Matterport Pro 2 camera, but now that you have this Matterport Pro 3 camera, in terms of large spaces?
Well, I think that maybe, we have to go back to sort of what is, if you're a provider of services and there isn't a BLK 360 for, hours and miles away from you, or, it may have been a challenge for you before to accept jobs where you would be scanning like a entire campus, or maybe, you wanted to capture outdoor spaces that were very large, but this now enables you to say yes to those jobs. And I think that will add, anytime you can say yes instead of saying no to a potential client, I feel like then you are creating an opportunity for yourself. So that would be I can't give a specific example other than I can imagine like things we did in the past, like scanning entire campuses where we did each building individually. Now we could connect all the buildings. And in the past, maybe we didn't have a BLK 360, or that was way beyond their budget. So this would sort of be that sweet spot.
I guess I would propose a use case. I remember in 2014, when I bought the Matterport Pro 1 camera, I had an opportunity to do 20,000 square feet of construction. And they were at a stage where before the drywall, before the ceiling was on the floors, the light was pouring in, the sun was pouring in. So it was a challenge scanning the 20,000 square feet of the beginning of a construction project. Certainly I couldn't have done it at the slab level, but during all the wood construction for the apartment building, sunlight was a problem.
Yeah.
So that seems like it might open up opportunities if you're doing construction documentation, weekly, monthly construction documentation, progress reporting for clients, that might enable one of those phases to actually be captured that might have been really difficult.
Oh, so true. Yeah, I didn't even think about that, but you're totally right. Scanning construction outside. Also scanning not just the perimeter of a building, but the roof.
You beat me to it.
Yeah, the roof, right? So the roof, especially in downtown San Francisco, where we do a lot of scanning, is oftentimes that's a venue, or that's a lounge area that they've created. And I think back to scans that now I would wish I could do again, because I could scan outside on the roof.
Well, I think what I'm hearing is you're maybe talking about space planning, marketing opportunities to rent, lease, a space for, related to an event. Stop me if I'm wrong.
Leasing, just showing that that's an amenity.
Leasing. I was even thinking beyond amenities in terms of the roof, with the HVAC units, just for a business that says, oh, we're putting in another HVAC unit. We need to be planning and we need to see what that space looks like.
Yeah, there's a lot of use cases for commercial. I mean, you think about the roof and you've got HVAC. Yeah, you've got your HVAC. You've got oftentimes even elevator, mechanical rooms will be, you know, the ceiling or the top floor plus the ceiling or the roof. Or, you know, there might be opportunities to sort of do feasibility on solar panels. Or...
I actually did a roof with the that was supposed to be a before and after with the sun, planning for the I'm having a mental block on the word you used it.
Oh, the solar panels, like
solar panels. Right. Thank you. On the solar panels. They just wanted to know what it would look like. And so I just used the 360 camera up on the roof, and then the client moved on to a new job. So we never actually did the after solar panels installed. But that wasn't even taking for use for measurements. So now you really could use a Matterport, in my opinion, you could use a Matterport Pro 3 camera to have measurements that are probably good enough in terms of planning for where are the array of solar panels going to be. Somebody's up on top of that roof doing measurements in order to figure that out. Why shouldn't that be a Matterport service provider doing that?
Yeah, and I think, again, in terms of the documentation of your building for insurance purposes, that's a big one. And, you know, it's solar panels, or it's cell towers, or it's potential revenue reducing or revenue increasing opportunities for building owners. I think there are so many ways that you can provide value now in ways that, you know, it might have been possible before, but with a lot of effort. And I think that now that sort of democratizes it a little bit, because we're able to achieve these things with a system that that helps us do that and overcome it. I mean, arguably you could do it with Cortex and Z1 and this and that, but, you know, I think that you're right, Dan, that that's just another way that you provide value to your clients.
Has Hopscotch Interactive done anything with insurance claim? Can you speak to that and maybe relate how you did it and then how it might be done with Pro 3?
Yeah, we did a number of scans. It's been a while since we've done them, but we've done a lot of scans for foundations. And so basically the foundation needs to be replaced. It's an insurance, you know, insurance is partially paying for it. And so we would have like the structural engineer would contact us to do a scan of the entire home. And so that was more from a planning perspective, but also to sort of show and to show what had been damaged. But, you know, we haven't been one of those like boots on the ground teams, like after a hurricane, which I imagine there's a lot of people doing that, but we're not doing that here.
With fire, flood.
Floods, we've done arson and floods. So I've done a few buildings or a few structures, one very memorable one, which was an arson property. And I scanned it both right when it was just when they were going in and before they had actually started the renovation process, and then sort of the abatement of it. And then I went in after the abatement was completed and then scanned again. And so that was one of the hardest scans I'd ever done, because the smell, and there, I know people who do fire all the time, you know, scans and whatnot, and I commend them. I mean, we were like head to toe respirator, hazmat suit. It was really intense.
Yeah. So, I think that's probably enough to say, if you're a Matterport service provider and you're thinking about fire, flood, there's probably some special equipment that you might need for your health and safety. So don't just jump in. What's the disclaimer? Don't try this at home.
Don't try this at home. In fact, the folks that, again, in that way that I say you're a photographer and then you're like an AEC specialist, you could be like a fire specialist and you're a photographer, and with help and guidance, you can get there. But I think that there's a huge advantage to somebody who's already in a fire inspector, who's adding Matterport as like a high-end service, rather than a photographer being like, oh, we're going to suddenly start serving the fire and remediation businesses.
I think the way I would describe this is, first I would say absolutely right. It's way easier for the professional who's doing fire damage assessment documentation to add Matterport than it is a photographer to add the skill set required and the understanding of the safety and the precautions and the
absolutely.
But the one thing that keeps playing in the back of my mind is, while the bread and butter of insurance claims is typically fire and flood, and yes, wind, hurricane, water damage from major events that take place, when a major event such as a hurricane or in California fires, what happens is the whole space of the people who document homes for insurance claim documentation get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, you know, you might be able to go to some of the insurance claims people and say, hey, I just want to raise my hand, let you know that I can, you know, scan, you'll have all your measurements, you'll know what everything is.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that fire is the right thing for me, but maybe if you have, you know, you're part of the country where it's flood you can get in there quickly, you might be able to pick up a lot of business. I don't mean to be opportunistic. I think that's super helpful for the homeowner that they could actually get their insurance claim settled faster by having it documented with a Matterport model that gets converted to either the Matterport True Plan or to the essentially the Xactimate. So there's just lots of opportunities with a Matterport Pro 3 camera that's probably not possible with the Matterport Pro 2 camera. And I'm just guessing on your, correct me if I'm wrong, but on your fire, on your arson piece, you probably would have felt better with the Pro 3, where you could have gotten in and out of that space in half the time, not be concerned about whether you're going to have alignment errors on site.
And also, I don't know about working in, we talked about working in sunlight, but we didn't talk about working in low light, but that would be one of the thoughts. There's not really a space on the camera to place a light very easily.
Yes.
And I think that might be also a reason, like, where even if I had the opportunity to use my Pro 3, I mean, who knows, maybe I would say my Pro 2 is still better. Plus, I've got an aging fleet of Pro 2s. Why don't I just use those for these insurance claims? And
yes,
maybe that's actually a better solution in the short term. I don't know. But I know that, like, companies that I've shown what we can do, they've gone and bought their own cameras too. So there's definitely a bit of, like, you know, like, yeah, here's this awesome thing, we can do it. And then, you know, it's easier for them to acquire a camera. Yeah.
So, but that probably kind of teases out two things. One is someplace in the We Get Around Network forum, I know that we've had 93,000 posts, 16,000 topics, and some of them have been lights that hang within the tripod itself.
Yeah.
As a possibility. But frankly, if you're doing other than marketing videos, I mean, if you're doing a marketing video, it's likely that you're going to have a pristine space and the lighting's fine. When are you not going to have great lighting? The building just burned down and you need document it. So who cares if you go out to the Home Depot and you buy floodlights or whatever it is that you need to light up your space, because the people who are consuming the content could care less that you have Home Depot lights set up in the four corners of a space and they're in your imagery.
Yeah, we did that. We had lights set up on stands in order to overcome some of the areas that we couldn't just put it. Although I had added lights to the top of the camera For those scans, especially in some of the engineering, structural engineering places that we had to scan, we had to add lights to the camera, and I have a whole Velcro system for putting them on top. But you're right, Dana. What do you think? Do you think that AEC and insurance are the growing segments? Do you feel like those are the biggest segments that you see growing right now?
Well, the topic of the show is to help Matterport service providers make more money. And I would rule out fire, flood damage. It's just beyond the expertise of a real estate photographer to try and acquire all those skills for something where you need to be ready to respond 24/7, much better that the company that's doing the remediation, getting rid of the moisture in a space, goes and buys a Matterport. But I think there's still an opportunity to pick up some business there. I would say my impression within let's see if I could rattle off what I think are probably the use cases. First and foremost would be large spaces and have the confidence, or I should say large open spaces. We're not talking about going into a furniture store that's fully furnished and it's super easy to scan with a Pro 2 camera. We're talking about large empty spaces that are for sale or for lease. And
an empty supermarket.
It's empty supermarket, full supermarket, large spaces. With a Matterport Pro 3 camera, you could have the confidence of actually being able to quote on the, as you said, quote on the project and be able to deliver it and not have the angst that, oh gosh, my Matterport Pro 2 camera is going to have so many scanning errors and I have to scan so close together to accomplish it. So large spaces in a fraction of the time, half the time. Mm-hmm. Large spaces. Being able to do large atriums in commercial spaces. So now you can, whether it's a gymnasium or the atrium or anything with a high ceiling to capture that space, high ceilings. Outdoors, I would say even though we spend a lot of time debating these elevations, I think there is an opportunity to do outdoor elevations with a Matterport Pro 3 camera. There's an opportunity certainly to do as-builts that are necessary to begin projects.
Right.
And those as-builts include the outdoors. It's not marketing video. It's just being a marketing tour. It's being able to capture that moment in time for an architect to be able to reimagine a space, and outdoor is part of that reimagination process. We haven't really spent a lot of time on spatial data, but truly in my mind, Emily, I kind of look at the world in quadrants and I think about Matterport being in this quadrant of spatial data. Capturing of spatial data is really important because a Matterport service provider will be able to make more money when spatial and data is involved in the capture process. So in that opposite quadrant, however we do that, I would say, making a virtual tour of residential real estate, spatial data, not so important. Can't get as much money.
They don't care. Yeah, they don't need it. They like it because they can get floor plans, but they don't need the spatial data. We've discussed it on prior talks when I've been on the Live at 5 before, and just sort of saying that I feel like it's actually overkill for some of these properties.
Yeah, I would encourage our viewers to go to the We Get Around Network forum. Type in Emily Ullman and search for everything in the We Get Around Network forum, and you'll find a whole discussion on this topic. I think part of what we concluded was there's about 180 3D 360 virtual tour platforms that We Get Around Network tracks, and within 10 years. Those solutions, in my mind, will beat out Matterport in residential real estate, because spatial data doesn't matter, you can capture those spaces way faster with other tools and still get floor plans.
Oh,
and
sure.
Matterport yeah. has to focus on what don't those other 180 platforms do well. And spatial data is where it has the most value when it's done at scale for enterprise, meaning a company.
Every single subway in the country or
whatever it is. A subway restaurant. So, when a client says, here we're going to go do refreshes on every one of the subway restaurants in America, and every one of those restaurants looks different. They're different spaces, they're different configurations, they're different shapes. So when Subway can say, we need the spatial data of 4,000 restaurants across America. And typically what happens is that they typically do a third every year because they're doing a refresh every 3 years. So if they have 6,000 stores, they're going to do 2,000 stores. And when they need 2,000 stores done, they need companies that can do that at scale. And that means a lot of business for Matterport service providers that have a Matterport Pro 3 camera. So I would say anyone who's probably on the edge of their seat, probably thinking, do I do this? Do I don't do this? Do I do this? Do I don't do this? Unfortunately, if you don't do it, you're likely to miss out on some of the early adopter enterprise clients that are seeking Matterport service providers that own a Matterport Pro 3 camera. And We Get Around Network curates a list of Matterport service providers that have either one or more Matterport Pro 3 cameras or one or more Leica BLK 360 scanners. And those companies that those Matterport service providers that have a Pro 3 earlier on are going to end up getting business from clients, building a deep and long-term relationship with those clients for their ongoing needs. And the people who buy Pro 3 cameras a year out or 2 years out are waiting, are going to miss out on those early adopter relationships that get formed early on. It's like that door doesn't open. It didn't even know there was a door there.
Yeah, I think that you're right about that. I think that there's two things. One is that yes, many companies are going to need the spatial data, and the spatial data is more future-proof than not having spatial data. So for so many different reasons, but I mean, that's a whole other topic. But the spatial data is extremely valuable. And I could just say that being able to have a camera that enables me as we move into the Internet of Things, or we move into smart homes or smart buildings, that spatial data is going to be one of the most valuable things. And so I do think that that is certainly in the next few years, and there's already people who are building third party solutions off of Matterport's data that utilize the data. So check out some of those vendors.
Forgive me, but let me point out, for those that don't know, We Get Around Network curates a list of Matterport partners that have publicly available solutions. And these lists, they're totally free. Go to the We Get Around Network forum, join, you get 50 plus free membership benefits, including access to, here's 180 3D 360 virtual tour platforms. Here's 50 plus 3D 360 cameras. Here's a list of companies that are seeking Matterport service providers to do Matterport tours or photos or videos, et cetera. I've listed three or four, but I forgot which list you were talking about.
Yeah, exactly. And I signed up for the list. So just so people know, Dan, you sent it prior to this. So I signed up Hopscotch in like 5 seconds, basically, to say like, yeah, we've got a Pro 3. So I think that it's any kind of additional discoverability for you and your business is very helpful. Now, We had this when the Pro 2 first came out, and there people had a preference for the Pro 2. We'll have to see what happens in my market if many other folks are starting to offer Pro 3 and that becomes the standard. But we didn't touch upon the most important point, Dan, which is that the classic plan versus the new plan. And maybe, I don't know if there's other questions, but I think that we really should talk about that before a closing out. So,
What would you like to say on that topic?
So the topic, and this is one of the reasons I didn't get the camera in the beginning. So I should have mentioned this before, but one of the reasons I was not convinced was because I knew that the Pro 3 camera would not be something I could upload to my classic plan. Now, Hopscotch has both the classic plan, which, go ahead.
Just parenthetically, Matterport actually has two sets of pricing. One is prior to 2019, which we typically referred to as Matterport Classic pricing. And then Matterport came out with what is its current pricing for Matterport Cloud. And the Matterport Pro 3 camera does not work with the Matterport Classic pricing of prior to 2019.
Right. So,
you had to make a decision to say, you've had a lot of Matterport, you have a number of employees, you got a number of Matterport Pro 2 cameras, you're in Matterport Classic pricing. That meant you had to open up a new Matterport Cloud account specifically to use your Pro 3. How'd you feel about that?
We already had it. We'd had it for a long time. So I've always had both maybe not always, but shortly thereafter the announcement, I did get both plans because there's advantages to and disadvantages to both. And certainly the disadvantages continue to mount for the classic plans once they did something like this, which was they alienated a lot of their most loyal and oldest customers by saying you cannot transfer a Pro 3 created scan to a classic account. Now, I think that is a really unfortunate situation because I feel like it does force people into purchasing a second account. But in our case, and maybe for others, fortunately, I had already encouraged clients of ours to get their own accounts. And so uploading to their accounts is actually really kind of a moot point then in terms of the hosting. But if you do need to keep stuff hosted and you want to scale your business, I think that the post 2019 plan is a particularly painful business model to kind of wrap your head around, because I don't think that you kind of have to choose your darlings and figure out which ones you want to keep up and which ones you archive.
Well, one of our guests that we had on, he said, hey, it's just the Matterport cloud pricing is the new pricing. It's just the cost of doing business. So build it into your business model when doing your pricing to clients, and particularly in commercial spaces, you're likely to have hosting on an ongoing basis. So, figure out what you're going to charge for not only hosting, but I would call it hosting support and maintenance. I'd put those three terms into it and have a line item that's separate from your scanning for hosting support and maintenance.
Yeah, I think that most people do that, Dan, but I think everyone still hates it. I think even the clients hate it because it's like, it's actually just a bookkeeping nightmare. So, there are solutions where and they'll probably chime in on your forum on this and say, we take care of the hosting for you. And I'm like, great, like, that's awesome. But again, it's like everybody gets a cut. So I think, I do build it in. I still don't love it. I just don't. And I think that Matterport had to make some tough decisions as a company to decide what direction to go. And I've also owned a camera since 2015. So I think
have been really nice had Matterport just said, hey, if you had 2019, you were among our early adopters. You helped get us to where we are today. We're going to allow you to continue to use your classic plan. And so that everyone keeps stop having conversations like we're having right now about current pricing versus classic pricing, and just
I know. Well, I have one other question for you, Dan, because, you know, we've talked about this on previous episodes, and I feel like Matterport's stock price was like at like maybe another all-time low. Do you have any thoughts on, I mean, for people who are going to be investing in this system, they have to be asking themselves, what is going on? What, if this is sort of, they've come out with this new camera, this seems like, I mean, all signs would indicate everything is looking awesome. Maybe Matterport isn't a metaverse company because metaverse is now a, you know, a, we like favorite now most cringy word of, you know, depending on who you talk to. You know, do you have any sense of what kind of a, what is the state of the, you know, the company itself vis-a-vis all these exciting things that are happening, and why are people now treating it like this? I'm just curious if you have any thoughts.
Yeah. So today, Thursday, December 8th, 2022, Matterport stock is closed at $2.82. That's near its 52-week low of $2.62 versus a high of... let's see.
33 or something?
I'm trying to remember.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was way up there. It's showing a 52-week high of 27, 28, but I want to say it was up to about 35 or something.
I think in November 2021. Yeah, something like that.
I would say all this investment stuff is, I would say if you're a Matterport service provider, don't be concerned about the price of the stock. Matterport's still sitting on $1 billion, $500,000. Let's see, I'll get the number right. About a half a million. I'll try it one more time. About $500 million in cash. So the balance sheet of Matterport is awesome, and it has no debt. And the every time I see the price of the stock go down, all I can think of is, you know, which company might acquire Matterport. And if a company acquires Matterport, that is only going to be good news for Matterport service providers, because it means a much larger player comes in with much deeper pockets than Matterport and just blows up the space in a good way. So this is like so off topic, but I know you.
I just had to ask.
I would say like a company like Hexagon, which is humongous in terms of Matterport, and they focus on AEC. And the Hexagon's the company that owns Leica BLK360s, the Leica brand. They have, you know, a whole separate department of a company that does construction documentation. They could look at Matterport and go, oh, okay, let's take a competitor off the table. Yes, we can use this camera here. Here's where it fits in our product line. We can use this for documentation. We can activate all the Matterport service providers to provide. To me, it's only good news. The price of the stock, I would say, is irrelevant for a Matterport service provider. If you're an investor, that's a different conversation. But if you're a service provider, it shouldn't give you any angst about whether to buy a Matterport Pro 3 camera or the future of the company. They are rock solid, got $500 million in cash, and every innovation like the Matterport Pro 3 camera is good. And all the things they're finally doing with the Matterport API SDK with the Matterport partners, think of it as an Apple iPhone app store. Now you have all these other companies building out very exciting solutions. So I wouldn't worry about that. I know we should wrap it up. I have one last observation, then I'll ask you. My observation for you, Emily, in the with Hopscotch Interactive in the greater San Francisco Bay Area, owning your first Matterport Pro 3 camera, having other subcontractors available to you that have Matterport Pro 3 cameras, the likelihood, I'm guessing, I'll ask that question, but the likelihood by the end of 2023 that you have multiple Matterport Pro 3 cameras, given that you're in a large top 10 market, there will be many companies searching for Matterport service providers that use a Matterport Pro 3 camera. And because you are among the first to have a Matterport Pro 3 camera, you're going to get business as a result of that that you wouldn't have gotten. You will now begin developing relationships with businesses early on who are early adopters using the spatial data of the Matterport Pro 3 camera in the greater San Francisco Bay Area. And when other service providers finally get around to buying a Matterport Pro 3 camera, they will have missed that first wave opportunity.
And so is the question, do you think that that's how it's like, is the question, will that be the scenario by the end of 2023?
Do you think you actually by the end of 2023 have either replaced your Pro 2s or bought five Matterport Pro 3 cameras?
It's possible. I think it's very possible. I think that we are in a special location where I feel like the likelihood of most of the people that I would think of as like, you know, local area providers, I think that they all already have them or are going to be purchasing them soon. We are so close to Matterport in Sunnyvale. You know, we're an hour's drive from Matterport. So this is sort of like Silicon Valley, San Francisco, Greater Bay Area. There will certainly be a trend that may start, like I said, in the spring market of these residential homes being exteriors that are scanned, or adding to our client base, which I would be, of course, delighted for people to be more interested in the spatial data and for us to get that business. So we will have to see, but I would absolutely say, I wouldn't necessarily say replace the Pro 2s, but I would probably say add Pro 3s. I would say chances are we won't buy more Pro 2s, but that we will buy any new camera we buy would probably be a Pro 3 at this point.
Any closing thoughts?
Well, just that, Dan, you always ask the best questions. So I just would say that, you know, this has been a delight. Thank you for having me on the show. And I will look forward to hearing from people who may be watching this and may be interested in, you know, some more of my the content that I do. I love being on your show, Dan. It's awesome. I have a regular stuff that I regularly post to our YouTube channel. So the Hopscotch Interactive YouTube channel. So, you know, definitely if you have an idea for what Dan and I should talk about next time, let me know.
There's probably a lot of topics that we could continue on, and I look forward to that in 2023 with you, Emily. And for those that are watching, want to get in touch with Emily, www.hopscotchinteractive.com, HOPSCOTCH Interactive, hopscotchinteractive.com. Emily, thanks so much for being on the show again.
Thanks, Dan.
For Emily Ullman, CEO and Chief Media Officer of Hopscotch Interactive in the greater San Francisco Bay Area, I'm Dan Smigrod, founder of the We Get Around Network Forum in the greater Atlanta area, and you've been watching WGAN-TV live at 5.